Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now we're joined in the studio once again by our parenting expert David Coleman. Keep your questions coming in for David by WhatsApp on the Radio 1 number. It's 0870 32 32 32. You can text us to 51551 or the email address is todaycb at rte.ie. David, lovely to have you with us.
Yeah, you nearly got a TV recommendation there when then the red light came on.
Yeah, telling David to watch Rivals, telling everyone to watch Rivals. Let's get to these questions. So there's a few questions coming up here about school, and we're at the first midterm break now, so it's probably no surprise that people have a bit of time now this week to think about these things.
Reflection.
So this mother is worried that her son started school too early. So he's going to turn 5 next month in November, started primary school at 4 in September. He's happy enough to go, but his teacher says he's no attention and focus and is showing a lot of support needs. So this parent feels like I should have kept him back until next year. And they'd like to know, should I take him out and let him have another year in preschool? And she's been told by both schools, the preschool and the primary school, that there is no cutoff and I can move him if I decide to. What do you do?
I'd move him back.
Would you?
Oh yeah. Look, you know, he's only 4 and he's coming up on 5. I think for him to be 5, you know, and 5 years, 10 months starting school next year will give him just a much easier start into it. I think if the school are already, the primary school are already noticing some support needs, it'd be great, because what can now happen is that if there is something that needs maybe to be assessed between now and then, they can hopefully get that assessment done in the year. But even still, whatever support needs they're identifying, they can be assured that they'll be in place, ready to go when he starts, if he starts again in September. I don't think there's any harm in doing it. I mean, I've always been a fan, and you know, anytime I put up a query on my Instagram, it gets real traction. You know, this idea should be 4 or 5. And I think it is tricky for some, you know, parents, you know, when their child's birthday falls, you know, and it's like they will be 4 years, 10 months. And it's like, oh, you know, is that, will they be super old if they're going in at 5 years, 10 months? But I'd still always recommend, you know, when in doubt, wait until they're at least 5 to start. I just think they're just more socially, emotionally, psychologically, academically ready for the demands of primary school at that age. So if the primary school is saying, yeah, no problem to pull him out, he can start again, and the preschool is saying, yeah, we still got a place for him, I'd absolutely
do that.
Him. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good advice. Now, we're going up in age now to a 14-year-old girl who has major school anxiety. She feels like she doesn't have any friends. She struggles to engage with others and feels like she doesn't fit in, is invisible and alienated. When she approaches groups, they turn away. This makes me feel really sad when I read this. It's leading to an upset tummy, a sick tummy, and this parent just wants some direction and guidance around what to say and what to do. I'm considering CBT. She doesn't want to hear about mediation. That's really sad, isn't it?
Mm. Very hard for her. And I mean, there's probably, you know, a bit of a balance between her perception of what's happening when she's there with other kids her age, with her peers, and what might actually be happening. So from the mum's perspective, I think I would go in and talk to the year head, or if there's any kind of pastoral support in the school, maybe go in and talk to somebody in that role to see, can somebody give her some feedback about what's actually happening on the ground when her daughter goes into school? Not that I don't disbelieve her daughter, that she's feeling alienated and that she's feeling like other kids turn their back on her when she does try and go up. Because I think, you know, in that kind of first year, second year milieu, it's difficult because kids tend to form their initial cliques and blocks, and they make their friendship groups, and they're very resistant to change. And certainly if you do end up either falling out of a friendship group, you know, I've heard so many young teenagers say, you can't go up to another group. You can't just say, you know, can I sit with ye for lunch? It's almost like it's not allowed. So I think that could be a real issue for her. No wonder she's getting, you know, pains in her tummy and so on, because that's probably feeling, you know, highly anxious going into school. What's the day going to be like? She's going to feel perhaps very lonely and so on. CBT, I mean, I think might help her in terms of dealing or coping with the anxiety, but in terms of the social element of school, that's probably going to have to be the mum, as I say, getting the support from the school to see, is there a way that the school can help her integrate? You know, is there some extracurricular or after school stuff or lunchtime clubs in the school that might help her make just one or two friends, anybody, it doesn't, even if it's not in her year, that she just feels that she has, typically for most young people, they feel they have somewhere to go at lunchtime, that they're not just, you know, sitting alone or worse. I mean, I've heard so many stories of particularly girls sitting in bathroom stalls crying for the whole of lunch break because they feel they've nowhere else to be.
Oh, David, and it's awful. You know,
yeah,
and as a parent, you just want to protect your child from that. You know, you'd nearly go into school with them if it meant that they didn't have to be on their own.
That might lead to a little bit more alienation.
It might, it might. But it is, it's incredibly tricky, yeah, isn't it, to deal with that. But you're saying, get in touch with the school, find out if they have a year head, somebody who might
year
be
head or somebody on the pastoral team, just to see, you know, is her daughter's perception of things really accurate? And if it is, what can the school then do? You know, is there any kind of buddy system? Is there any kind of mentoring support? Mm-hmm. You know, do they have peer mentors? They maybe are, you know, a fifth year student who could just befriend her and maybe just hang out with her, even just that she has somebody at those all important kind of, you know, downtimes between classes that's going to kind of have a smile for her and be glad to see her.
Okay, let's move on then to this one. Our eldest boy just turned 18 and thinks he can do what he wants. He's staying out overnight and we're worried, should we just let him go his own way now that he's 18, or should we interfere? We're concerned he may be getting involved with something he's not mature enough for yet.
Ooh.
He's 18.
Which is either, you know, either heavy drinking, you know, drugs or sex. I mean, those are the three things I think that parents still really worry about in terms of things that, you know, they feel their young adults now mightn't be ready for. It's such a tricky time because you have the 18-year-old who absolutely feels he's, you know, kind of cock of the hoop now because he's 18. He can kind of do what he wants. He is a full adult as far as he's concerned. But the difficulty for him is he's not yet independent. I think, mm-hmm. you know, true adulthood comes when we can take responsibility for the decisions that we make, whereas he's still going to have his mom and dad picking up the pieces if he makes a mistake because he can't afford to pick up the pieces himself. And so I think that's the bit he needs to recognise. So somebody really needs to sit down with him, maybe not his mom or dad, but somebody outside the family, like an extended family member or somebody who can just say to him, you need to really cop on here now. You know, I know you feel you're 18 and you can do what you want, but actually, you know, your parents pay for everything still. So you've got to actually take their needs into consideration as well, which means you've got to negotiate things a little bit differently with them. And that's the process, I think, for us when our kids do move into adulthood. We can't just lay down the law and say, this is the way it has to be, because, you know, they're big enough and old enough now that they could walk out. You know, he possibly even has his own car, you know, or access to a car. And so he'll take the car. And so all these things mean that the rules that you might have had with a younger teenager, you can't apply to an older teenager. And so it's about that process of negotiation. But I think the 18-year-old, someone needs to kind of clip his wings a little bit and tell him he's not the man that he thinks he is.
It's very tricky, though, because 25 or 30 years ago, he would probably have been out, you know, if he was going to college or in his first job, he'd be living independently, you know, when people could afford to do
for
that.
For sure. But like my own son went off, you know, for a year to go to Germany straight after school because he wanted to defer the year. And he went off and he, you know, God knows what he was doing in Germany for the year. And you know, what we didn't know didn't hurt us, but he was fully independent. We didn't pay for a single thing for him while he was over there. Mm-hmm. We didn't have to support him in any way. He had his own flat. He had his own money. He had his own job, you know, made his own friends, made his own choices then about what he did. And so, you know, I think that's okay, you know, and that's perfectly fine. And 18-year-olds absolutely can handle that, you know, they can. And some of what's happened, though, I think over the last number of years, you know, certainly with Irish families, is that we actually have disempowered our kids. You know, we've made so many decisions on their behalf. We've overprotected them. We haven't let them suffer enough of the slings and arrows of the outrageous fortune that might have come their way, only for parents were there to step in and protect them. And so that means that there are a lot of kids now at age 18 who haven't a hope of being ready for independence, you know, and they still have this expectation. I was watching this ridiculous clip, you know, of a Dr. Phil show where this daughter was giving out that, you know, her mother wouldn't keep paying to support her, you know, and the mother was saying, get a job. And the daughter was in tears going, I can't get a job. I don't want, that would be too hard. And I mean, it's, but like, you know, that's not a million miles from reality.
So we're not allowing them to build their resilience, so they can't go out at 18 and live in the world independently. We haven't given them the tools.
I mean, the same young lad, I'd be interested to know, you know, does he have a part-time job? You know, does he earn his own money? You know, if he does have access to a car, does he pay for the car? Does he pay for his phone? Does he pay for all these things? If he does, well, then he's got a much stronger position to argue that, yes, he should be allowed to do what he wants because he is more or less financially independent. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's obviously still living under his parents' roof and isn't paying full rent or whatever. But for the rest of it, for the other youngsters who, you know, are waiting for their mammy and daddy to buy them their car at age 18, which an awful lot of parents now are buying for their kids, you know, and it's like, it's ridiculous that we do all these unnecessary things for our kids because we're trying to make their lives easier, but they don't need their lives to be too much easier, because then when they get faced with actual challenge in the real world, they're not ready to cope with it.
Yeah.
So they need to have, you know, small amounts of challenge thrown their way regularly and often when they're younger, so they learn to cope and they build the sense of ability to manage.
If you've done your job properly, your child should be able to go out and into the world and live as an adult independent of you. That's your job.
Yeah, but it's, you know, I think the way society has moved in Ireland has also made that difficult. It's not that this is a failing on parents' part alone. You know, I mean, the cost of living crisis that we have.
Yeah, you can't find a place to
renting.
Rent. It's reasonable.
Yeah. And so that means certainly for families in places like Dublin or Cork or any of the big cities, you know, if you have a university close by, it's really unlikely that your child is going to move out of mm-hmm. home. And so that means that they don't get to experience the actual independence either. And so you know, some families are caught in this bind where they want to be able to give their kids more independence, but then nobody can afford for that to
You'll
happen.
You'll be
either.
Making their dinner until they're 35, David. That's
well, you know, more fool you if you are.
Okay.
All
right. Our son is 18, another 18-year-old in leaving cert year. Every day he goes to school, he finds the first 2 hours unbearable. He's sweaty hands and anxiety. Then he's okay for the rest of the day. He has friends, he's comfortable with adults, etc. But I'm concerned he'll struggle with morning exams. So what could that be? The first 2 hours of the day, he has extreme anxiety and then everything's okay.
That seems unusual. I'd be interested to know, has that always been the case? Is that something new since starting in sixth year? It might be that it's something to do with the fact that it is the exam year, and that maybe he's feeling just the general pressure that this is his kind of his one big shot, because I think that's how a lot of teenagers will experience coming into the leaving cert years. Like, this is my big shot, and if I don't manage to get the points this time around, that's it, my life is over.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of catastrophic thinking. So that needs a little bit more exploration,
more
to be honest. Yeah, just to understand what is particular about those first couple of hours.
Listen, I know you've been touring the country, haven't you? You were talking to parents in various theatres over the place. Oh, were you?
Yeah. I can get you a seat in the pavilion if you want to come along, Claire.
You're out in Dunleary, is it?
In Dunleary. It is sold out, but I'll find it.
You'll sneak me in. Listen, what were the main themes coming through?
Oh my goodness, it's so broad. I mean, obviously there were loads of, in the Q&A sections of the talks, there were loads of questions about anxiety. Naturally, that was a theme. But I've had questions about things like bereavement. I've had questions about, you know, family separation. I've had questions about all the various different neurodivergencies, about, you know, schools, about, really is as broad. I mean, there is just so much going on for families.
So there's nothing particularly that you say, this is a big issue that I've identified on this tour that we need to deal with?
No, I'm actually probably more interested that there's been fewer questions about screens and about technology, and more about themes that I suppose, I would have been probably more familiar with from years gone by, like I say, things like bereavements and separations and that kind of stuff, and just the challenges of school. There's a lot of school refusal out there as well, and a lot of parents really stressed about, you know, kind of getting their children in and out of school because
they're second level.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, we'll leave it there for now. Lots of questions coming in, but you're going to be back.
I will, of
with
course.
Us.
Absolutely.
Best of luck with the show tonight.
Thank
Sold
you.
Out. There's no point telling people to go and get
they
tickets.
They come to Carlow next week. I've one last show in Carlow next week.
David Coleman in Carlow next week. David, thanks so much. Good to see you as always. We will take a break back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.